His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these things, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will not fall, but you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
For the last few weeks, we've been learning about God's purpose for his people, whether we go back to the very beginning of the early church, or we go to AD 62-64, that's the letter we've been reflecting on, 1st, 2nd Peter, or whether we come down to the day, us sitting here, Harston Baptist Church. God's purpose is the same for his people, and that is for us to know him more and more, and for us to resemble him more and more in our lives. And in that letter that we've been reflecting on, 1 Peter, he's been telling us how we can resemble him. It's because of God's presence with his people. It's because of the power of God. It's because of the promises of God that we can stand on and discover that they're reliable because God is faithful to us. And we began last week reflecting on what is resembling God, what is resembling Jesus Christ look like? And Peter reveals to us different characteristics, different virtues that we need to acquire. In other parts of the Bible, if we would go to the epistle to the Colossians, we would see these virtues depicted as 8 beautiful layers of clothes. If we were to go to Galatians, we would see these virtues displayed as a single fruit of love with 9 flavors. Here in Peter, they're portrayed as a beautiful necklace with 8 links, or as an ascending staircase with 8 steps, highlighting to us that Christ-likeness, it must be clearly visible. It's something that adorns our lives that others should be able to see. And we learned last week that the foundation of growing in Christ-likeness is faith in Christ. That's trusting, depending upon Christ and his present, his perfect work of salvation to save us from the penalty of sin, to save us from the power of sin. That's something that he's doing in our everyday lives presently. And in the coming day, when we're with him in heaven, we'll be saved perfectly from the very presence of sin. We'll be transformed into Christ's likeness. Faith in Christ is the foundation of our Christian lives. Faith is a gift from God. It grows as we fix our eyes on Jesus and as we're standing on the promises of God. So I want to ask you, are you growing in your faith, in your trust in Christ and his perfect finished work for us? Are you trusting him in his ever-living presence with us every moment of our lives? And if we're united to Christ by faith, we will be identified by further virtues: goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And says Peter, if we possess these virtues in increasing measures, they will keep us from being useless or unfruitful in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. The believer who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted, has forgotten that they've been cleansed from their sins. They're to live a radically different life now that they are embraced faith in Jesus Christ. And if we see these virtues growing in our life, it gives us assurance. It gives us confidence. It confirms to us that God has begun a good work in us, and he's bringing it to completion and perfection in our lives. And one day, we're going to receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Growing in Christ-likeness, it's not an optional extra for believers. It's proof that you are a believer in the first place. An important question is, do we want to grow in Christ-likeness? If we're not bothered about that, then either your faith is very weak, there's barely a pulse, or that faith was never genuine in the first place. If our faith is genuine, we will be identified by goodness in our lives for the reason that God is good and God does what is good. And through coming to know such a God and the changes that he brings about in our lives, something of God's goodness should be seen in our lives. And we defined that last week: moral excellence expressed in generosity, mercy, kindness towards a broken and sinful world. And we see that perfectly in the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially in the cross of Jesus, the way that he responded on that cross, even going to the cross, it was because of God's generosity and mercy and kindness. And that should be seen in our lives as well. On Thursday, I was at Andy Macy's funeral service, and I was in conversation with a neighbor of Andy, who happens to be a work colleague of Michael Barrett at the business school. And he's a Muslim. He was a wonderfully dressed man. He looked so noble in his speech as well, and I discovered he was a Muslim. And he lived next door to Andy. And he told me, he said, "I don't say this lightly. I don't use this word lightly." But he said, "In Andy, I saw the goodness. I saw goodness in his life. I saw goodness." Oh, what an open door that gave me. I said, "Well, you know, as a church, we're looking at goodness And it comes from a faith in Christ. And Christ works out that goodness in our lives. And goodness is moral excellence expressed in generosity, mercy, kindness. And he said, that's what I saw in Andy's life. Where in the Bible does it tell me that definition of goodness? I said, well, look at 1 and 2 Peter. So I'm praying that he will go on and do that. Look at it. But it was Andy's goodness, that awakened him, startled him, amazed him. I said, it's not normal for you to have such a relationship with your neighbors. Usually people say, no, no, we don't want it too close. They'll be in and out of our homes all the time. We want some privacy so people will keep a distance. Not so Andy. Andy showed the goodness of God. That's why we see that goodness is a powerful witness, and it must be added to our faith. Well, our faith in goodness enough? No, says God's word, we need to add another virtue, knowledge. Believers need knowledge. Knowledge concerning how to express God's goodness in our lives. It's expressed by Paul in his prayer for the Philippian church. This is how he prayed. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. Discern what is the best way to express God's love and goodness in our lives and to others. Where do we acquire that knowledge? It's only through meditating upon God's word, the Bible, and seeking the help of the Holy Spirit, our teacher, to lead us into the truth. We acquire knowledge when we gather on Sunday mornings to listen to God's word being read and explained and applied to our lives. However, we need more than one spiritual meal a week, one encounter with God's presence to receive nourishment and direction. We need daily encounters with God and his word. That was expressed in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't just refer to God meeting our everyday needs. It also includes daily receiving spiritual food from God. That was expressed by Jesus in the wilderness when tempted by the devil. Man shall not live on bread, physical bread alone, but by every word we receive from the mouth of God. How important is God's word to our existence as human beings? Psalm 19 revives the soul, making wise the simple, giving joy to the heart, giving light to the eyes. How important we have a right appreciation, value of God's living word. And if we have that right appreciation, we will approach the Bible with a desire to know God more and more, to know in a clearer way his plan and purpose for our lives, with the desire and the intention to put it into practice. And if we have that desire, God will daily open our ears and pour his life-giving words into them. That was testified by Christ in Isaiah 50, verse 4. He says, my Father wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen, like one being taught. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. And even though Christ knew it would lead to the cross, he didn't draw back. He set his face like a flint to go there. How intent was Christ on knowing and obeying the Father's will? And because he was daily led and directed by his heavenly Father. Just think about it. There were so many pressing needs around Jesus. He couldn't meet them all. His Father directed him to particular people he wanted to express God's goodness. And there's some wonderful pictures of that in scriptures. Remember, he was going to, I think it was Jericho, and the crowds were driving Jesus that way, but there was a blind man who was crying out for mercy. And Jesus heard, because the Holy Spirit had opened his ear to hear that cry from that man, and he stopped the crowd and he went. And if we're intent on knowing and doing our Heavenly Father's will, we will know God's leading and direction in our lives. How we can be channels of God's goodness. We may be reading in the Bible about God's people in Acts sharing the possessions with believers in need. And then, coincidentally not, we become aware of believers in need, and we feel prompted to do likewise in our weekly routines of work, leisure, shopping, even using public transport, dog walking, serving at the food hub coffee morning, attending a funeral. God can give us opportunities to express his goodness in a multitude of ways, in an act of kindness, in communicating something about God, our experience of God in our lives. God reveals ways we can express his goodness to a broken humanity. Are we drawing back from them? Or are we grasping them? Are our eyes open to see? We take that step of faith. We're prompted. We take the step. And God leads us as we move. Take that step. Pray that God would change your hearts. Give us a greater love and compassion for our fellow human beings. Give us a greater faith that God can use us in our everyday lives. If we're to live a Christ-like life, we need faith, we need goodness, we need knowledge, we need more. We also need self-control. In placing faith in Christ, we've experienced a change of heart. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who gives us power to live a new life. And he plants new seeds in the garden of our hearts, new desires. Incidentally, there were seeds all given out at Andy's funeral. Seeds. Pot plants. And what a message at that funeral. Pray that seeds were sown in the hearts of people. God plants new desires in our hearts as believers. However, there are remains of the old nature still in our hearts and will remain there until we reach the perfection of heaven. And until that day, we will experience something of a pull, a tug of war, a conflict between the old and the new. I'm sure you're aware of that in your life, that tug, that pull to do the things that we thought nothing of once in the past, but now we've become a Christian. But something of the old is there, and rising up and seeking to draw us into our old way of living, acting selfishly, lying, cheating, gossiping, outbursts of anger, drinking excessively, and so on. On such occasions, we need to exercise self-control. We need to make a decision and say, I'm not going that way. That was the old me. I'm going God's way. I'm going the way of faith. I'm going the way of goodness and knowledge. I'm going the way that's revealed by God's word, the Bible, and I'm going that way, led and empowered by God's Spirit. Our old sinful nature, it won't only entice us to embrace sinful attitudes and behavior, it will also seek to entice us to rely more on ourselves than on God. It will tell us that we don't need to habitually spend time in prayer and reading the Bible to be a Christian. It will tell us we don't need to go to the church prayer meetings or home groups to be a strong Christian. It will tell us that we can just get by with attending church on Sunday. Our old nature can fool us into thinking that we're living a spiritual life, when in reality, we're living more of a self-orientated or a self-empowered life. And it was like that in one of the churches in Revelation. They thought they were one thing, but the Holy Spirit had to reveal to them it was the complete opposite. And that can be true in our own experience as well. We need to be aware of the danger of both enticements. Enticement to embrace sinful attitudes and behavior, and the enticement to rely more on ourselves than God, to think that we can now live the Christian life our way or God's way in our own strength, in our own power. Both are sinning from God's perspective. Both are damaging to our spiritual health. Both need the spiritual virtue of self-control. And when we seek inspiration, when we seek a champion at such enticing moments, we look to Christ. We look to Christ. Scripture tells us that he was tempted to sin in every way as we are. But he did not sin. That means he exercised self-control, did he? He exercised self-control. When mocked on the cross, when hearing the taunts of the crowd as he was suffering, he faced the temptation to retaliate with words of condemnation. But he didn't. Amazingly, he prayed for his taunters. When prompted by the Spirit to fast in the wilderness for 40 days before the start of his public ministry, well, he faced the temptation to resist such an uncomfortably, physically weakening experience. But he didn't. He demonstrated his perfect reliance upon the will of his Father and the power of the Spirit. And when tempted to sin in every way as we are. Jesus resisted. He exercised self-control, and so must we. And he didn't do so in his own strength, but by relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. And that can be our experience. It has to be our experience. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Stand in Christ alone. All other ground is sinking sand. But praise God for his Spirit who indwells us. We need to be awakened to his presence and with us, and to his voice, and to his the strength that he can give us to say no against the flow that's going the wrong way, and to say yes to the right way. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power is available to us. We need to avail ourselves on it. There was a book written by a Christian writer, and it was the title I thought was wonderful. It was about the Holy Spirit. The title was Good Morning, Holy Spirit. That it begins in the morning when we wake up. We need to get our thoughts and our minds and our hearts in the right place. And that comes as we come into God's presence. Without that, we're not in the right place. We're all over the place. As we come into God's presence and God's Spirit speaks to us through God's Word, makes it alive in our minds and our hearts, and as we entrust ourselves and go out the door relying on God's strength, then we're more likely to have that opportunity on the bus, on the way to walk, or way to work. And yes, God is good. God can use us even when we're not in the right place. And there are examples of that. But he can use us more if we're in that right place. And God can enable us through his Spirit, through his Word, to be in that right place. So may God adorn us this week more than faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control. And if you come back next week, there are more items of clothing that you can learn, that you can apply, that you can wear, so that we can, in a greater way, we can resemble the Lord Jesus in our lives and show to others in broader ways the likeness of Christ in our life.